Happy Friday, 6:10 in the morning. Make it 6:11.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
At 6:11, we begin with my friend Howard Tolman, who years ago started the Tribeca Flashpoint Media Arts Academy, which is an innovative way to teach kids how to get job ready for the future. And of course, 1871 is now legendary, almost 500 startups and a cool thing called The Bunker we'll tell you about. Oh, and today he brought the mayor of London and the former president of Ireland in, and we expect to have both on. Good morning, Mr. Tolman.
Good morning. Was that you singing backup on that theme song? It was really
Bill Withers. How good is Bill Withers? How good is Bill Withers? Hey, listen, let's start with one thing. You have to come over here and do an hour with me at some point. We can do the 9 o'clock hour. Mary's been trying to get you to do this forever. You're allegedly the busiest guy on the planet, but I'm offering you an hour of very valuable real estate. Not that you need it, but so that people can understand what you're doing over there.
I'm happy to come. You just tell Mary to pick a time, and we'll be there. Not a problem.
All right, good. Let's talk about today. What are you doing today?
Well, let's see. We're doing a talk for HFS, which is a program that provides scholarships to challenge students so that they can go to private high schools and then get into college. I'm doing that first thing. Then running back to 1871 and welcoming the mayor of London along with our mayor.
So Sadiq Khan is elected mayor. He's a young guy. He's certainly got technology in his blood already. How do we marry that with what you're doing here so both cities benefit?
Well, the good news is we've been over there a couple of years ago now to Shoreditch, which is sort of their developmental area. It's a bunch of old warehouses that's being re-envisioned as Tech City. So we're already working with both the entrepreneurial community over there. We have exchange programs and reciprocity. And then also in the fintech area in particular, and that's who Mayor Khan is bringing over, about 25 fintech or financial technology startups. What's happened in London is the financial district has really relocated to Canary Wharf. And so we're working there with one of their major incubators called Level 39. And so a lot of that is in place. But today the mayors will be signing a MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, to increase the exchange and sort of the activity between the two cities.
The importance of this is obvious, at least it should be, because as the world becomes more interconnected every second of every day, Chicago is leading the way through 1871. How many startups now? Almost 500?
Yeah, 500 startups, about 2,000 people a day. All the universities are here, 7 universities. We've got about a dozen schools of our own where we teach things, and then 9 different incubators in various areas like food and real estate and women. And you mentioned the Bunker Labs, which is our veterans program. Also, EdTech, about 40 or 50 companies just focusing on helping to improve things in education.
So here's how I see 1871. 1871 is the Hollywood of technology. So you got somebody out there with a great idea. They're going, how do I get Howard Tolman's attention? What do they do?
Well, first of all, you know, an idea probably is not enough. Just an idea is great, but, you know, you need to have a little more going for you than that. But assuming that you make sort of the entry point, and we're focused on B2B, you know, we're focused on business solutions. So if you have a pet dating site idea, I think dogs and cats should have a social life, but not here. We're real. And probably if you're delivering gourmet donuts across the country, we're not interested either. But if you've got something that can grow and can be added to the various corporate environments here, which are major, so that the jobs stay here and the people stay here and we keep growing the economy, that's what we're focused in on. And, you know, we take about 7 out of 10 applicants. We have 20 or 30 applicants to join 1871 every month. So It's not that hard if you got.
But there is
idea,
there's a screening process to the applications, obviously. But I'm guessing because
Absolutely.
People know who you are, you're out to dinner. You're out with friends. You're doing whatever, and you're getting pitched ideas like Hollywood folks get pitched scripts all the time. I would think.
You know, it's the good news is there's probably 60 members of our board. There's probably 100 other people here who also, have the privilege of having that same experience.
Right.
So it's not limited to me, but it is an ecosystem. It is designed to find and surface and advance the best ideas. That's the goal. I mean, it's all about jobs. You know, we're not 1871 is a nonprofit. We don't take a financial interest in these companies, although we have 6 venture funds here that do, obviously. And so we can be Switzerland. You know, we can really sort of help grow all of them and work with all of them to provide introductions and resources and education, sort of the whole 9 yards.
It's great talking to you and catching up with you a little bit. I don't see you enough, and I always love having you on. So we're going to do this now.
All right,
you're
going
to come in.
I'm looking forward to it. I always see you over at Navy Pier once a year at least. But let's get together. I'd love to do it.
All right, Howard, hold the line for 1 second. That's Howard Tolman, runs 1871. You know, in the 90s, remember the 90s, Dave?
I do vaguely.
Yeah. Mary, yes. Do you remember the 90s?
Very well.
Yeah. Howard Tolman was running, I think the company was called Tunes.com. He was doing online digital music. Like before they knew how to do online digital music. I think it was actually on a karaoke machine singing the songs. But the guy is 71 years old, and he thinks like he's 21 years old, and he always has. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, he is an amazing guy. I've met him a number of times, and very impressive. And just such a great implementer of ideas and getting people thinking about new things.
I mean, so great for the city.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Great role model for the millennials.
500 startups. 500.
Isn't that amazing?
Very cool.
I'd like one.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Let's go to Lou Manfredini live. Are you at Channel 9?
I am.
What are you doing there?
Well, right now, can I just say that, and you and I can share this, I'm wearing my Ron Santo game jersey.
Perfect.
And I'm just so happy.
I will be happier as these playoff rounds go on. I don't know. I've renamed the bandwagon after me because, as you know, I didn't have a lot of high hopes for the Cubs last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I predicted 162 wins. So basically they've let me down.
Wait, let me do that math.
Yeah.
Okay.
I may have overcompensated.
Okay. Right.
But I said to Vicky.
That's been your problem your entire career.
Yeah. And in my personal life.
Right.
I said to Vicky about Santo a couple weeks ago, and I guess we were talking to Dempster yesterday. How great would it be?
Who is that? Who, by the way, look out.
Good talk show.
He's going to be the new morning guy on WGN if you're not careful. I would
really
not
good.
Invite him back.
He was really good.
Yeah.
He was really good. But I said to both of them, I said, how great would it be to hear Dempster? I mean, hear Santo make the call on these games.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
I mean, you early on said something that was used as a promo where you said something about that sound you hear is Santo giggling in
heaven,
yes. Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that has always stuck with me. And, you know, you and I were, you knew Ronnie better than I did, but I did have the pleasure of knowing him and working with him. And I really do, when they do well, I think of him. My wife the same way. We both think of him and how passionate he was and how much he cared and, you know, how much he's missed, I think, by so many. And hopefully he's looking down on this along with the other former Cubs that are.
He and Ernie are guiding it.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind that he and Ernie are pulling the levers.
That's fun.
All right, 6:25. We have Mike on the phone. Or as is, you know, we have this computer where the callers' names are on the computer, so
right.
You know which line to go to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's go to Ceiling Mold Mike, which is the worst nickname I've ever heard.
It's a T-shirt.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Got a brand new thermostat for you. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But first, why don't you ask Lou your first call question?
Okay, Lou. Good morning. In my bathroom in my home. I have a bathroom exhaust fan. It's a pretty good size one. It's 110 CFM. And I have windows in the bathroom also that are casement windows. But I continually keep getting mold on my bathroom ceiling. I clean it with a mold inhibitor, wash it down with bleach, spray a mold inhibitor on it, and probably a month later, I get mold, black mold on the ceiling again.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here, ceiling mold, Mike. You don't want that. Now Lou will take it from there.
Right. Okay, so you have this fan that's running, but are you sure that it's evacuating the air from there, that it's not clogged? One of the ways to check this is go in the bathroom, turn the fan on, and take a piece of toilet paper, a couple three sheets, and hold it up there, and it should suck with pretty good force and hold that toilet paper up in there. And if it's doing that, then find out where this fan is evacuating the air and make sure that you're getting a fair amount of pressure blowing out from there. My guess is it's clogged or something's holding that fan back from pulling all the moist air out. From there, okay, that cleaning that you're talking about, what may be going on is, I mean, if you're using something like a Concrobium, which is very good, a very good cleaner that has residual value, that mold should not be coming back. If it is, then it might be something that you need to sand down that ceiling a little bit. That film may be embedded with the mold and mildew spores that the cleaner can't get out because you're probably spraying and wiping. And then when you go to repaint it after you sand that finish down, use a paint by Zinsser, which is a bathroom and mold paint on that ceiling. But my guess is, if you've got that fan with 110 CFMs, it's clogged, and it's not. It might be running, but it's not pulling the air out of that space.
Okay.
That makes sense, ceiling mold, Mike?
Yes, it does.
All right, ceiling mold, Mike, you've won an April Airfare, April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. I don't know where the airfare came in, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home and your air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-HVAC. Hold on. That's 855-955-HVAC. You know, when I come in here in the morning, I have to, my brain has to kind of sort of go parallel lines with the sun coming up. So I drive everybody nuts in the studio because I don't want the lights on. So the lights are very dim in here. It's like late night at a club.
Really? This is terrible.
Yeah.
Really? Can't see a thing.
Yeah. I'm used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too dark.
So I take the lights down almost to dark. Mm-hmm. So just the computer monitor lights light everything. Do you think that's why I miss a few things?
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, let's go with whiny staff questions. Mike. Mike Jacobson, do you have a whiny staff question?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Oh, that's not Mike.
Dave, you didn't have to interrupt me like that.
Yeah, Mike did have a question.
I actually do have a question, Lou, and it's about woodpeckers.
Okay.
What do you do to get rid of them?
You use fishing line.
Fishing line?
Mm-hmm. So this is a little trick where they come over to an area where they keep coming back. You take fishing line and small little nails, and you nail it to the side of the house, and you make a little webbing. Not really a webbing, but like a few lines back and forth with fishing line over the area where they keep coming back. The fishing line has to be about 2 inches or so away from the building. They see the fishing line. You don't, because it's fishing line.
And they don't want to run into it.
They don't want to run into it and get tangled.
And by the way, Lou's the guy who told me how to get rid of the bird that kept smacking into my window this year with reflective tape, which worked like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Which I picked up at my local Ace Hardware.
Attaboy.
So like hanging like fake snakes on the side of the house
snakes,
does not
no.
work?
Snakes, no. No.
By the way, the fishing line woodpecker trick is catch and release. So
right.
Please.
Right, we don't want to eat the woodpecker.
No, because they don't taste like chicken.
No.
Sandberg.
Hey, Lou. And my house was built in 1958, and I'm pretty sure our dehumidifier that's in the basement mm-hmm. was also put in 1958. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, a portable unit, a giant unit that you have to dump out.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth investing in a newer one? Does it do a better job?
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like so much fun to dump it out. I wouldn't want to change that lifestyle.
The one that, I mean, the thing is that the newer ones, first of all, dehumidifiers use a fair amount of energy when they're plugged in. Mm-hmm. The newer ones are more efficient than if yours is from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And most all of them have a setting on the back where you can connect a small hose. Oh. And if you have a floor drain, you don't have to dump it out.
I do have that. I don't know if the 1951 does.
It perhaps doesn't. And then, but the thing, here's the other thing too, Mary, is that if you're If you're experiencing a lot of high humidity down there,
mm-hmm.
even the largest dehumidifier you're going to buy at the store is, you know, it's based on pints. And so it's a 70 pint, maybe 100 pint. You might be able to buy a larger one online. But and this is not to spend more of your money, but PermaSeal installs this product called SaniDry, which is a much larger filtered system
mm-hmm.
that gets piped into your floor drain. And this thing will take all the moisture out of that basement.
Okay.
So it may be worth the investment.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
I think I've heard a PermaSeal commercial yeah. here once
yeah.
or twice.
Yeah, yeah, once or twice. What's the one thing, like, you're the new product guy. The manufacturers, they send you cool toys and
all
stuff.
All the time.
What's the coolest thing you either have in an Ace Hardware or it's about to be in an Ace Hardware store? By the way, Lou owns two of them. You know, that you really want people to know about because it's going to be part of their life.
Oh, boy. So there's a couple. One we just featured recently called the Lucy Light.
Mm-hmm. What's that? It only sheds light on women named Lucy?
Right, exactly. It's, well, when you plug it in, it goes, you got some explaining to do.
That's it's like Mary's humidifier. It plays a theme from Happy Days because it's from the 50s.
This is an LED solar-powered light that you inflate. So it has a little nozzle, like you would inflate a floaty toy in the pool, okay? And it has colors. It's clear. And the whole idea behind these lights is you can use them as accent lights. You can hang them. They start different sizes. They start at $9.99. But the interesting thing about this company is when you buy a light, they donate a light to a third world country where they have no light.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, you know, there's so many parts of the world where when the sun goes down, people have no light. They can't read. They can't do anything. This thing, you keep it out in the sun for 6 hours, it stays lit
that's
for
a very
6
cool
hours.
Idea.
And it's called a Lucy Light, L-U-C-I. We don't have them in stock yet, but they're really cool, and I just love the whole mission of the
sure.
of the company.
So you can order them online right now?
Right. You can. And the other thing that we sell, which is pretty funny, but is sports compression socks.
Sure. Sports compression socks, yeah. Do you have compression underpants, too, or just
no,
the socks?
No. But these things, they all thought I was crazy when we brought them in. If you spend any time traveling or you're on your feet the whole time, they look just like regular socks for both men and women, and they go all the way up to the bottom of your knee.
They're like old basketball socks. Very
correct.
Cool.
But they're you can get them on and off, Mary. They're not the kind where you need help pulling them off.
Oh, okay.
But they have enough tension on them. Your legs feel revitalized at the end of the day. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it's graduated pressure.
Correct.
To keep the fluid from hanging around your ankles.
I'm on airplanes all the time.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
And on and off, on and off. And so I've started to wear these when I travel or if I know I'm going to go to a convention or something.
Yeah.
It's life-changing.
Because your legs feel good when you get off the plane.
Yeah, I thought they only came in pink and green.
No.
They do.
Brown, black. You can get pink and
sure.
green.
Yeah. The Lou actually paints them.
I do.
Yeah.
I like a mural.
Last one, my bathroom shower fan was blocked with dust. Thanks, Lou, Steve, Mary from Cookie. Cookie says just listening helped her.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice.
All right, go have fun with your Channel 9 friends.
I love you.
Love you back. See you, bye. That's Lou Manfredini. And Lou's on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. All of this sponsored by American Weathermakers.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
643, we welcome to the studio former President of Ireland, Mary Robinson, who I had the pleasure of having on the old afternoon show. I don't know, it must have been 10 or 12 years ago. Welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you. It's
been,
nice
a, been a big week for you.
It has, indeed.
What did the City Council do for you?
Well, there was a special session of the City Council, and they gave me the Medal of Merit, which I gather is quite exceptional.
It's very good. I don't have one. Dave, do you have a Medal of Merit?
No, I do not.
No, it's a nice honor.
They were trying to remember when it happened last, and I really was very both affirmed and humbled by what was said on the occasion, and just that nice sense that the City Council really wanted to honor me for things that I've tried to do all my life.
Well, and I have a sense that you are busier now than you were as president. When you traveled the world on behalf of Ireland, you seem like you're busier than ever.
I'm pretty busy, all right, because I have a foundation on climate justice. I don't talk about climate change. I talk about the way it affects people,
right,
and the injustice of the fact that it affects the poorest countries and poorest communities. But I also now have a mandate for the United Nations, a special envoy of the Secretary General, on El Nino and climate, because we now know that the El Nino weather pattern is aggravated by climate.
So climate change negatively impacts the weather to create the extremes in heat and extremes in storms and probably extremes in cold as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I ask it as a question because I don't fully understand it. I don't claim to be a meteorologist, but you know, we have no cohesive thought by the major governments of the world on what to do about it. But the Paris agreements are really the standard now, right?
That's right. There was a good agreement in Paris last December, and the United States and indeed China together played a big role in preparing for Paris, and have played a role since in together ratifying before the G20 the Paris Agreement. The Secretary General has designated the 21st of September as a day for other countries to ratify. It could come into effect this year, the Paris Agreement. And we had talked before about a Paris Agreement coming into effect in 2020. So that tells you that countries around the world are taking climate change very seriously.
Because
now
there's urgency, which you have seen firsthand. You said you were in Ethiopia earlier this year?
That's right. I was asked to go and draw attention to the humanitarian crisis that's affecting 60 million people in our world today.
Right.
It's a hidden crisis because we have Syria and we have refugees coming into Europe and all, you know, all those issues. But actually, this is a slow onset, hidden drought crisis where El Nino has aggravated the existing drought, and El Nino itself is exaggerated by climate change. In Ethiopia, I went up to Tigray in northern Ethiopia, and I saw malnourished children again. You know, a terrible problem, maybe stunted for life. I went then to the dry corridor in Central America, to Honduras. They've never had drought for so long and in so such a prolonged way. I then went to southern Africa and met the African leaders of South Africa, Zimbabwe, Botswana, etc., because they were at a leaders' meeting. And every single one of them said, it's worse than we remembered. And then last week I was in Vietnam before coming here to Chicago. Same thing. Vietnam is deeply affected. And everybody knows now that things are so much worse and that this is the hottest year on record. And you know, we have to take it seriously.
The weather patterns that we have in the various parts of the world, are they basically, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but are the weather patterns that we're used to, are they simply made worse? Is that what we know? That everything we see as extremes are going to be more extreme?
That's right. And there were never a need for special envoys for El Nino before, because it was a predictable pattern that did affect countries, but they coped.
Right.
Now it's aggravated by climate change. It's overwhelmingly bad.
If you could wave a wand over this and get one thing from the collective governments of the world, would it be better control over emissions, or what would the work be?
Absolutely. We need to do far more on emissions. There were promises made, every country committed before Paris, but when we add up the commitments made, it still leaves us at least 2.7 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial standards. And that's far too high. And that's, if everyone did everything they said, that's where we would be. We're on course for about 3 or 4 degrees, which is catastrophic.
Right.
I mean, I have grandchildren, and they will be in their 40s in 2050. They'll share the world with 9 billion other people. And I ask myself, if we don't change course and cut emissions, particularly in the rich world, get renewable energy everywhere fast, put a price on carbon, put a tax on carbon, preferably.
Right. China is one of the major violators of this, so it does my heart good to hear you say that China and the U.S. have agreed on anything related to this. But the Chinese government, are they doing their part to the best of our knowledge?
It's very interesting. I mean, there are lots of issues where the United States and China don't agree, but they agree on the importance of addressing climate. And the reason that China agrees is that China has polluted cities, they can't breathe the air, they have polluted water, and they know now that they have to change.
Yeah, they're choking their own people.
They've become the lead country on the renewables, on solar and on wind. They're beating America on it at the moment.
Well, there's no way to hide now. You know, previously, prior to the 90s, prior to the internet, certainly prior to now, Beijing could have a day where you literally could not see the hand in front of your face and the world wouldn't know. Now the world knows instantly.
Yeah, and you know, young Chinese are leaving Beijing and Shanghai because they don't want to live with their children in a very polluted city.
They want to breathe.
Yeah. And so the economics of it are very clear now for the Chinese, and you know, they have changed. countries like India need to develop. They've got 400 million very poor people. They're trying to do it by solar, but they're also saying coal is cheap with us. We'll do it by coal if we have to. If developing countries don't have the real option of renewable energy and use fossil fuels, we will not be able to have a safe world for our grandchildren. That's the bottom line.
And the fact of the matter is, this does not have to eliminate here at home the thousands and thousands of jobs for coal miners and kill the coal industry. It's a transitional process that needs to have urgency to it.
It's a transitional process that needs to be just, needs to be fair.
Yeah, for all parties.
For all parties. Right. And in particular, you know, you need training, reskilling, and other jobs, because this is an inevitable process.
Well, at least it's a priority for our two... It's not a priority for our two candidates. I'll try not to put you on the spot here, but honestly, how big a joke is campaign 2016 around the world and back home?
All I would say is the world is very apprehensive about this presidential election, yeah. And I think I speak for the whole world.
I think you do as well. I would love to hear the conversations you have off the X. Steve Cochran Show continues. The former president of Ireland, Mary Robinson, is here, first female president of Ireland. And you are in the process of helping assemble the presidential library?
That's right. I'm very excited about the project, particularly because it's going to be in the family home where I grew up in Ballina. I grew up with these four brothers in a house that's on the river just opposite the cathedral in Ballina.
And of course, Ballina.
In Ballina.
Okay, Ballina.
County Mayo.
And tell me about Ballina. How big a town?
It's about 8,000 population, so it's small, but it's been a market town down the years, and it has this beautiful River Moy with famous salmon fishing. So in the summer, we get a lot of visitors to fish.
Sure. And you're growing up as a little girl there. Could you ever have imagined this career?
Well, the one thing I can say is that with four brothers, two older and two younger than me, I had to be very keen on human rights and gender equality and using my elbows and fighting back.
You never would have gotten a meal.
But no, I never did dream. And actually, the idea of using the home and building an annex beside it, because the local authority own the land beside it and we can build a big modern annex, which will also give a lot of facilities. The idea wasn't mine originally. It was the local county council, because Mayo has been badly affected by the financial downturn.
Sure, sure.
And also the government has come in very strongly. Half the money is from the government and the local authority. I'm giving my collection, which has been valued, I'm interested to see, quite highly in many millions, and that will be housed in the library. We also have a link with the National University of Galway, which has a great human rights centre and a great global women's centre. And I've had long connections with them. We're already running programmes, particularly on women's rights. And we've had international human rights lectures by very distinguished lecturers for the last 3 years.
Well, I think that's the important thing, too. And I can't speak to what President Obama's library will be like here, but the library needs to be, and the center needs to be, more than just a historical look at the individual's career. It's got to be innovative and forward-looking as well, right?
That's right. I certainly didn't want a mausoleum or some monument to somebody who's still living.
Not going anywhere yet.
But, no, I'm really excited about it, because we need a place where young people in Ireland can, you know, learn about human rights, gender equality, climate justice, and be inspired. And, you know, we're a people who have a great interest in developing countries, for example. We have had our own famine, so we identify with the plight of developing countries. I found the same spirit here in Chicago, I must say, and I know about the generosity of Chicago, because I think the last time I was on your show, I was here for an event for Concern Worldwide in support of it. And that was supporting Concern's work in Africa and in Bangladesh, and the generosity and the interest of people. I found, since I've been here talking about the presidential library for the last few days, that there's a great interest and support, and I really appreciate that. I want to develop a partnership, basically, with people here in Chicago, an ongoing partnership.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is Chicago is a very important city to Ireland, and vice versa, you know, country to city, city to country.
Absolutely, and that's now reflected in the fact that a member of the Irish Senate, Senator Billy Lawless, lives here represents the diaspora. I put a light in
nice
the
nice restaurateur, as a matter of fact.
I've been in one of his restaurants.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's a
but,
great guy.
I mean, I put a light in the window of my official residence. I said I would do that when I was elected. I just couldn't believe the power of that light. When I traveled for the 7 years that I was president, everywhere I went, I didn't mention the light because they said, we know you have a light in the window and it means so much to us.
So it's a, and it's more than symbolism. It's just
a
really
nice symbolism,
gesture.
But it's a powerful, powerful symbol. And that light actually will be in the presidential library in Ballina.
Spend any time in Sligo?
Yes, I love Sligo and the Yeats country. And I
think I told you last time, my brother-in-law Ian is from Sligo.
And it's a beautiful county.
What I'm told.
Yeah, and in fact, we'll be linking with the Yeats Summer School in our work.
Yeah, he's told me I can't go there. It's really nice to see you again. I am a fan of your work and so respectful of what you're doing and trying to get done. So hopefully the rest of the world will join you in the effort.
Well, thank you very much.
And we'll do whatever we can here.
Yeah, well, I've certainly enjoyed my time here and the weather. Thank you very much.
How many days in a row without rain? You must be just starting to get a little twitch.
Well, I gather it's coming.
Yes, it may. But safe travels wherever
you
go.
Thank you very
much
indeed.
Thank you for the work
that
you do and continue to do. Okay. We'll take a break. News thank next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Well, here we go, 7:13. What do you do when you get off to a bad start? You change everything. You go back to a previous success, but then you also, you maybe throw a night game. You do a night game.
That's a good idea.
Why play during the day? Play at night. Pre-game tomorrow night for the Northwestern Wildcats' win.
6:30.
Can we count on your appearance?
I will be there, absolutely. And so will Coach Fitz, who is sponsored by Fields Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Glenview, a member of Fields Auto Group.
Well, you didn't see this coming, Coach, so what do you do now?
Well, you just keep grinding. You know, it's one thing if we would be playing great and you'd lose. It's the other thing when you're not playing and performing and coaching the guys up to our capabilities. So you just keep at it. You work on the things that you can control, and obviously we've got to do things on Saturday that winners do, like taking care of the ball, being efficient when we cross the 50 offensively. And then we've had two drives here the last 2 weeks as a defense to get a stop to win the game, and we haven't done it. So a lot of room for improvement, but a team that, our morale, I think, is in a good spot. I really like the way the guys work this week. Now we got to go out and perform. It doesn't mean we're anything unless we go out and perform the right way.
To me, this is where you have an advantage for having the smartest athletes on the field because of the level of academic kid that comes to Northwestern to play ball. Because there's a level of understanding about what it means and maybe how to fix the problem that I wouldn't necessarily apply to every athlete in the country. I think smarter kids are an advantage when you're on the wrong side of the ball.
Well, I think that you could also fall into a trap of overanalyzing things and getting a little paralysis by analysis.
Well, that's my job. You know, that's my job, to overanalyze.
Well, you and probably about 85,000 fans, so I get that.
Because you got all the email.
No, our fans are awesome. I the biggest concern I have is that we just got to get our guys' confidence up and get the game started fast. You know, I thought we're much improved defensively a week ago. And, in the opening game, we have, seven possessions. And offensively, if we don't turn it over in the last possession, we end up scoring four touchdowns. So consistency was a big word this week. Just being consistent in what we do fundamentally, from the littlest detail to the biggest detail, and then at the same time, just going out and understanding that we've got to perform on Saturday night. This is a game that requires performance and performance at a high level, and having 11 guys operate as one heartbeat. And to this point, as coaches, we haven't been able to get that accomplished yet consistently enough for our guys.
How do you feel about the play of your quarterback Clayton Thorson so far?
I think there's been some ups and downs. A week ago, our inability to be consistent at the point of attack forced us to have to throw the ball 41 times, and our completion percentage wasn't high enough. You look then at the drops, unfortunately, where Clayton targeted the ball the right way, and, his completion percentage would have been much higher. Had a great great fourth down completion to Austin Carr for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then we moved the ball. We had 30 plays across the 50, and we had 18 self-inflicted wounds that set us behind schedule. And I would not want to be a quarterback in an offense where 12 of our 18 third downs were third and seven or more. That's a tough way to live to be consistent. So we got a lot of room for improvement, Dave. As you've called a lot of our games, and just inconsistent right now with what we're doing, and we've got to get that consistency up so we can go win.
You got a bunch of injuries in your secondary, which going into the season, I think based on your projected starters, you'll be without three of your four starters back there for tomorrow's game. How do you fill that void, and do you put guys in there who just don't have the same level of experience as the guys you've lost?
Yeah, you know, Montre Hardage, you know, for the first two games has played very well. And I think he's, you know, really starting to gain some confidence. We had Trey Williams out there at the end of the game last week. And, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Trey. He's a talented guy. We've moved him around. He's played safety. He's played nickel. He's played corner. And then, you know, we've got a couple of young guys that potentially could see some playing time tomorrow. And again, it just kind of goes back to the same theme I've been talking about. It's really nothing magical. Just go out, do what we coach you to do, and don't overanalyze it and don't overthink it. I mean, it's I read a great quote here this week that, you know, when you overthink things, it leads to inconsistency. You know, do birds think about flying before they fly or while they're flying? No, they just fly. So I'd like to see our guys just take off and go play on Saturday. And a lot of that's on us as coaches. And I think we've had a good week, and looking forward to tomorrow night. I mean, there's something awesome about playing night games for our guys. It's takes you back to, you know,
Friday night lights, baby.
Yeah, baby, when you played under the lights. So it should be fun.
Yeah, and, you know, you made a great point there, too, because so many times that overanalysis thing creeps in. It's like I've heard guys playing golf, you know, where guys go, well, I don't play that often, and I'm struggling. How hard should I hit a 10-foot putt? Well, you've already missed it. You right. Look at the, you know, you shoot a free throw. How far do I have to shoot the ball? You don't see it, shoot it. See a guy, tackle a guy. See a guy open, throw a pass. Yeah, just get back to playing like when you're a kid. Just be instinctful, right?
Wow, you just pretty much summed up my week, my friend.
There you go. Well, I'm inspired by you, Coach.
Come talk to the team.
It would be great. I could get Serrano out here too, and you know he was able to hit the curveball eventually. So maybe. You know, speaking of that, congrats to the Cubs, huh?
How about that? You know,
divisional champs. That's awesome. Just getting started. Happy for them. That's awesome stuff. It's great for the organization and great for our city. But we've just got to get back to basics and go out and execute. And we do that, we'll win. And get the train out of the station here with some wins and get back on the right track.
Yeah, got to get the first one. All right, so let's go with something that didn't work last week, but I have a strong feeling is going to be really successful this week. It's the power of Cindy Crawford.
Go Cat.
That's all you need. That's all you need. Yeah, plus one from you.
I'm so inspired. Let's go. Go Cats. Thanks, guys.
You can't mock Cindy Crawford. She knows where you work. All right, Coach, thanks, man. Good luck tomorrow night.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
See you later. Bye-bye. That's Coach Fitz.
Sponsored by Fields Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Glenview, a member of Fields Auto Group.
/7:24, we'll run through some of the wacky sound from yesterday in just a second that you may or may not have heard, but you'll hear it here for sure. Starting with Trump on Dr. Oz in a second. First, Schomburg is the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. We'll do this show live from the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg next Thursday from 6 to 10 a.m. Is that what time this show starts, 6 a.m.?
Most days.
Boy, that sounds early.
Mm-hmm. It is early.
Experience Illinois' only Native American-owned and operated arts museum. Enjoy Lou Malnati's pizza. Boy, there's nothing like Lou Malnati's at 7 a.m., huh? I mean, it's good anytime.
Right.
Why do you have some?
No, next Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good.
I'll also give you the chance to win tickets to the sold-out 2016 Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival and, other surprises as well. The events page is always a good place to go, WGNradio.com. That's where you can get details.
Hot dogs look good. Oh, yeah.
The hot dogs look good?
They're all beef, just like yours. They're also kosher.
Why are we talking about hot dogs and all beef hot dogs? Where did that come from?
Not here.
I'm pretty sure I didn't hear it myself. Did you hear it?
I heard it, but it wasn't coming from me.
Thought maybe I might be having a stroke or something. I don't know.
Hey, Steve, I heard it.
WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Yesterday, Dr. Oz and Donald Trump sitting down discussing his, well, just listen.
I have it right here. I mean, should I do it? I don't care. Should I do it?
Well, you're 6'3", 236 pounds. Cholesterol is 169. Blood pressure is 116 over 70. Blood sugar, 99.
That's good, 116 over 70.
Yeah, I mean...
I've always been lucky with blood pressure. I've always had very good blood pressure.
Your liver function, your thyroid function is all normal. You had a colonoscopy performed July 10, 2013, which is normal with no polyps. My goodness, his EKG chest x-ray on April 14th was normal. Your testosterone is 441, which is actually good. How do you stay healthy on the campaign trail?
Well, it's a lot of work. You know, when I'm speaking in front of 15 and 20,000 people and I'm up there using a lot of motion, I guess in its own way, it's a pretty healthy act. And I really enjoy doing it. A lot of times these rooms are very hot, like saunas. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's a form of exercise. And, you know,
if a patient of mine had these records, I'd be really happy and I'd send them on their way.
It's great that Dr. Oz and Donald Trump are pals. A couple of things. If he's 236 pounds, I'm anorexic. Donald Trump is 6'3", and I'm guessing somewhere around 300. I'm guessing if you put him on an actual scale, he's 290, 295, and maybe even a few pounds more than that. In addition to that, yeah, you know, all of us in this business certainly are up in front of crowds and we're waving our arms around and stuff. Not exactly running a marathon. Yeah, it can be exercise and a workout because you're going to sweat. You get a little cardio up. But jazz hands are not a workout. Waving your hands.
Really.
Yeah, lying to the public is not a workout. If that were the case, you and Hillary would be in phenomenal shape.
And I guess that's a form of exercise.
Yeah,
and,
not so
you know.
Much.
No,
it does count on your Fitbit, though. We'll count your steps if you're waving your arms like that.
It will?
So maybe he thinks that that's what he's doing.
Not just if you're walking back and forth?
No, yeah, it does. It does count your steps sometime.
I don't know. I just don't know.
And he wears his suits kind of big. Do you notice that?
He does his suits big. And you know what else he does? He does the fat guy tie thing. You know, fat guy gut, you got to have a tie that'll cover your gut. So he gets the extra long ties.
Yes, yes.
You know, and they're all red, obviously. You know, I think everybody understands mm-hmm. that, right? Mm-hmm. Hillary in the news as well. And she said something yesterday. This cut three. Hillary said something yesterday, which I think is a fair statement.
Now, I confess, I'll never be the showman my opponent is, and that's okay with me. Just look at the show he put on with Dr. Oz today.
The showman part was what I was talking about. She needs to admit readily, this is not my thing. I'm not a great candidate. She needs to say what you're already thinking and I'm already thinking. Oh, and she also needs to admit that people have a right to distrust her and question whether or not she's telling the truth. Ugh. The windbag in Pinocchio, the story of 2016. Meanwhile, Gary Johnson doesn't seem to be slipping in the polls. I had him dead after his Aleppo, what is Aleppo comment. Doesn't seem to be affecting him at all. He won't make the first debate, but he could make others. We'll come back, talk a little TV shortly. Mary, do you have your TV questions ready?
I do.
Dave, do you have TV questions?
I do.
Favorite shows?
Yes.
Veronica, jump in here with TV questions if you have any about your favorite shows. We'll get the TV gal on from Yahoo. That's coming up, and you can start texting now at 312-981-7200. Don't wait till the segment's over. Text early, text often if you have questions for the TV gal coming up in just about an hour. At 720 now, we're back after this on 720 WGN.
And what is Aleppo?
The Steve Cochran Show.
Might be the greatest piece of sound.
Always scares me.
That's right, Kevin Paul time. Kevin used to produce this show, and then he got an offer to move on up to the east side. He now does sports for Rokan and goes out and watches baseball games and eats free food. And I got to tell you, Dave, you didn't have a lot of faith in Kevin, you know, from the moment he got the job.
Don't.
I'm telling you, I think he's doing terrific work.
He's doing great work.
Yeah.
I never said I didn't have, well.
That wasn't you?
No.
Kevin joins us now after the big night at Wrigley, which ended with a... until the Cardinals lost late. Good morning, Kev.
Hey, Steve. Dave, I thought you had faith in me. I didn't know that you weren't backing me this whole time.
Okay, have you ever met Steve Cochran?
I may possibly have changed the story. By the way, I was told by someone, I don't say who, it was Sandberg, I was told by someone that you didn't want to get up this early to do the show.
You were hoping
we'd book you in the 9 o'clock hour.
No, I said I'll do anytime you need, especially if they clinch.
Seems to me you've gotten a little lazy, Mr. Afternoon Drive, and nighttime baseball. Is that what's going
on? Anytime you need me, Steve, I'll be there.
Sandberg, is this what happened? Did he actually say anytime he's needed?
He may have phrased a little different to me. Just let me know. I can suck it up and do earlier, too, if that works.
Now, I will say, now, see, Kevin, I've got your back here.
Yes.
Because
thanks,
I have an email from you at 1:28 a.m.
Yes.
You sent an email.
Well, what time did the game end?
Game ended around 10, a little after 10 o'clock.
Not that game, the St. Louis.
Oh, that ended about 10 minutes to midnight.
Right, so you could have been asleep by midnight. You could have got an extra hour and a half, man.
Well, that would be if I wasn't doing raps and doing blogs for the website, Steve. So I had to stay up and do some work. So.
You go to WJMRadio.com. You can see the work that Kevin does every day on your behalf so you don't have to. So, Sandberg, your read was he was willing to come on.
He was. Yeah, he was able to suck it up and wake up.
So. Mayor, thanks for throwing me a bus. Appreciate it.
Now got your back, Kevin.
And what not to text you. This is good to know. Thank you.
And also, too, I called Kevin, and he sounded half dead. And there was a lot of coughing and, hello.
You mean this morning, just now?
Just now.
Yeah. Well,
I told him to pep up.
I picture Kevin right now sitting at home in a T-shirt and boxer shorts watching cartoons while he's talking to me. Is that pretty much what's going on?
That is accurate, Steve.
Okay.
That is
okay,
correct.
Good. All right, before we let you get back to sleep, this team cannot be beat. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong unless there's an injury or they have some sort of horrible break. They're the most talented team in baseball. There's no reason they shouldn't win the whole thing.
Right, and tell me who's close. Because this, to me, feels like the Detroit Tigers in, was it 84 when they went wire to wire?
Yep. Yeah.
Where all year long, it just became, well, this is obvious, this is obvious, this is obvious.
I'll throw a couple of teams out there. And the one that maybe, and it would be intriguing, they're not better than the Cubs, they're not as good as the Cubs, but the Boston Red Sox could be a real interesting matchup if that comes to pass in the World Series.
Lots of storylines there if
it'd
it was a
great.
Red Sox
it'd
Cubs
be great.
World Series.
For fans, for baseball traditionalists, how much fun would that be?
Have you seen much Red Sox baseball this year, Kev?
I have. Their offense is probably, in terms of offensive production, they're probably the closest to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the pitching is quite, in terms of starting pitching, I don't think they're at the Cubs level, but yeah, that's probably the closest team. They have an absolutely dominant lineup, so, and a scary lineup. You saw last night they put up 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to beat the Yankees. So it's from top to bottom, they have a bunch of big bats in the lineup. So yeah, that's a good comparison. In the National League, I mean, you see what the Nationals are doing. They're the only team that's even been close to staying par with the Cubs. So, yeah, but it's talent-wise, on paper leading into the season, everyone was saying this is the best team in baseball, and they've lived up to those expectations because, as you said, Steve, it's been wire to wire. They've been the best team on paper and on the field.
So in the first round, they're going to get the wild card winner,
right.
And then they got to win that divisional series to get to the NLCS to get to the World Series.
Right.
So it's a little extra process this year. But if it ended today, Dave Ennett, who would they be up against? One or the other of whom?
San Francisco or the Mets? The Cardinals are lurking one game behind New York, and we still have a couple of weeks to go here, so it could change. But you would have the Giants and Mets playing the wild card game, and the winner of that game would then get on a plane and come to Wrigley Field to play the Cubs.
Let's get way, way ahead of ourselves here. Of those three teams, between the two of you, who's the tougher matchup for the Cubs? Three teams, including the Cardinals.
Including the Cardinals? I would be most concerned with the Mets. Of those three. And I wouldn't be all that concerned, but I think of those three, that would be the one that I would probably least like to face.
Do you agree, Kevin Powell?
Yeah, they all have sort of a... there's a little bit of everything there with all this team. The Cardinals are the Cardinals. The Mets, we know what they did last year, and the Giants are just there every year, and they win. I would say I'd be most scared of the Giants because, you know, they've won three World Series in the past, what, 5 or 6 years or so, and they have probably the Mets' starting rotation has been a little banged up, a little iffy. The Giants have some really good pitching on that team, too. So I would say the Giants would be the least the team you would least want to face.
They're all flawed, basically.
Aren't we all?
some of us. But I will say the Giants have had the worst second half of anybody. They did win last night, but that's been more the exception than the rule for them.
Did Dave just take a shot at me, Kev? It sort of sounded like Dave took a shot at me a little bit.
Not at you.
A little bit. Yeah, it sounds like the judge.
No.
Sounds like the judge is agreeing.
Never.
All right, so, Kev, what is your assignment now for the balance of the season? The White Sox have been out of it for a while. The Cubs have clinched. Do you go to anywhere games, or do you just, What do you do?
Yeah, we'll still be following the Cubs. It'll just be interesting to see how Joe Maddon is balancing playing time, with his starters and how much rest he's giving them. Last night he teased that he said, you'll like today's lineup. He just sort of said, stay tuned for the lineup. We weren't exactly sure what that meant. He may be giving some of his starters the day off. So I'm interested to see what the lineup, comes out as today. But, there's still another magic number, and that's clinching home field throughout the postseason, which I believe sits at 10 right now. So that's the next step.
Yeah, but once you've clinched the playoffs between now and the end of the season, let's be honest, you and the others in the press box will be trying to find stories where there are none. So you'll be mining for lame baseball stories. God bless the work you're doing.
Sure, stretching facts, things like that, making things interesting on the north side. But, just a few weeks away. But that's the thing. They just need to stay healthy, stay focused. Barring some crazy injury or some crazy baseball thing, there's no reason this team doesn't make a late, deep October run and win the whole thing.
Yep, that's what I'm predicting. Cub fans should be frightened. I'm predicting a Cubs World Series win. And before we let you go, without Joe Maddon, how many games does this team win?
I would say Maddon's worth 5 to 10 wins.
Well, that's the old cliche. 5 wins is a plus or minus 5 as a manager. I think he's worth 20 wins this year. 20.
Really?
20 wins. Yeah. For keeping the guys, for keeping the kids on track, for taking them out for snacks after the game, for dressing them up in jammies, for all of his wacky ideas and his good times, for picking the right guys at the right time. I think Maddon's...
I think he's worth more in terms of wins than your average manager and the...
So what, 6? You're going 6?
No, I mean, I think you might not be far off.
I think it's
really,
20 wins.
Because I think that you set a tone for the team and you've enabled these guys to achieve the way they've achieved. Now, they're all talented. They would have won a lot of games with another manager.
They're all drifters without Joe Maddon.
No, Romer dudes.
Yeah.
If there was war for managers, I think Joe Maddon would have the highest war in baseball. Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Compared to the average manager, worth a lot of wins. That 20? Yeah, maybe. There's just so much talent on the roster that it didn't even really matter who was managing the club that they were going to do. They were going to win a lot of games. I don't think this many, and I don't think they've avoided all drama. The locker room is
that's the manager. That's the manager. Manager's got to keep in line. But I do want you to open your next question and answer session with Joe Maddon with that statement. There's so much talent on his team. Doesn't matter who's running it.
I think that is actually kind of the case. I mean, the best. I think they with or without Joe Maddon, I think this team could still win the World Series.
All right, so that's our prediction. Again, Cubs fans, be frightened. I've got the Cubs in a lock. Matter of fact, they're never going to lose again. All right, segment's over. Kev, thanks for getting up. Kev, I knew you wanted to be on the show.
Anytime, Steve, whenever you need me.
May I say something to Kev?
Oh, you want to say something to Kev?
I want to say something to Kev. Okay. Hey, Kev, were you at Ryan Field last Saturday?
Yes, I was there, Dave.
Okay, that's all. See ya.
The reference to Kevin being an Illinois State homer.
Yep.
Had a tough game for the Northwestern Wildcats.
Yep.
And the fact that Dave will be firing Kevin later today.
He was gloating on Twitter and all this smack talk.
Yes, Amber.
Do you know where you were in 1984 when the Cubs clinched Rick Sutcliffe pitching? In
1984, I would have been in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, so you weren't on the edge of the seat. Dave, Mary?
I was just starting at WGN Radio.
Oh, yeah. What year? 84.
See, I grew up as a Cubs and a Yankees fan in the 70s when they both were terrible. So I remember vividly 84 in the clinch and how exciting it all was. Sure.
And the Pointer Sisters' Jump was the theme song. Oh, I was eight, and my dad had a school board meeting that night. And so he told my sister and I to watch everything and let him know what happened. So we sat on a bench in our little yellow nightgowns with a bowl of ice cream and watched everything.
And you couldn't text him because it was 1984.
No, and I was eight, so they probably wouldn't have given me a phone. But I, when he came home, we were allowed to stay up. And when he came home, we did not know that he was able to hear it on the radio on the way home that they had won. But we, you know, at 8 and 7, gave a play-by-play of our version of Rick Sutcliffe, who we called him Sutcliffe, but...
Sutcliffe.
Yeah.
So cute.
Right. And we were like, and they dumped the stuff on him. It was the most exciting clinching. Being eight is pretty, you know.
And here's what you don't want. A repeat of the five games with San Diego.
No.
Was it the Pointer Sisters or was it Van Halen and Jump?
Oh, Van Halen. You're right. Pointer Sisters is a different jump. Jump in.
It was Van Halen. Yeah.
You walked into any establishment in Chicago that summer and you heard Go Cubs Go blaring.
And then
and that was all right from here, right from this radio station.
And then the Bears won when I was nine, you know.
Right.
So it was like a great year for me, fourth grade.
Yeah, fourth grade rock. But how about the last few years when all you've had is Blackhawks success surrounding you?
That's been pretty awesome.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
How far away were we opened with the Hawks on the 9th? 8th?
The 9th, I believe, is the regular season opener.
Training camp's a week from today. Yeah. I have got to get a pair of skates. It's a couple of minutes before 8 on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Emmy weekend. But, Dean Richards, the really, really big news is what?
About the Emmys?
No, in general, show business.
Oh, in general?
That's right. It's the Emmys. It's the Emmys. It's the big news.
I would say really the big news today is Donald Trump getting his hair messed up on The Tonight Show last night with Jimmy Fallon.
I believe we have sound of that, don't we?
Hard-hitting interview. He didn't ask one political question, really.
I think that's good. I don't think Jimmy Fallon should be asking political questions.
I would be a little disturbed about that.
Yeah, well, listen, here's the clip. Roll it.
Why do you want to leave your current job? Because I'm sort of looking to make a lot less money.
All right. Yeah. You're going to have to take a pay cut. I'm sorry, yeah.
Donald, I wanted to ask you, because the next time I see you, you could be the president of the United States. I just wanted to know if there's something we could do that's just not presidential, really, or something that we can do now that we're just both civilians. Like... like what? This is... I'm not liking the sound of this. Go ahead.
Can I mess your hair up?
The answer is yes, but the people in New Hampshire, where I'm going to be in about an hour from now, I hope they're going to understand.
You say yes?
Go ahead. With my hairspray.
That video exists everywhere, Dean, as you know. The sad thing is, once again, Jimmy Fallon wearing a deep bandage on his hand for the third time this year. Because his hand was nearly cut off by the hairspray used in Trump's whatever that is on top of his
hand. When he did start to mess it up, it didn't move that much in the beginning, really. But when it finally started to, he's got some major weird comb-over action going on.
It's a double comb-over.
It was like super long and... it's like if I can't even think of anybody with super long hair like that. Crystal Gayle. It's like if Crystal Gayle, I don't know if this is too, you know, a reference too far back, who had hair down to her butt. If she wrapped it up around her head,
yeah,
that's what it would have been like.
Yeah, no, I've had hair experts from the hair industry tell me it's a double comb over.
It was wild.
So a comb so grows it long in the back and long on one side. So he can flip it in both directions.
Yeah. I give him credit for letting him do it, though. Right? And that's...
Well, keep in mind who you asked. I have trouble giving Trump credit for anything, as you know.
Well, I'm with you on that, you know, but...
No, he played a lot.
I thought for sure he would say no.
I'm sure it was discussed before the show, but he did play a lot.
Down, yeah. Hillary Clinton is supposed to be on Fallon next week, and I hope he messes up her hair, just, you know, for equal time.
You know what you do with Hillary Clinton if you're on Fallon? You hook her up to a lie detector. You know, you put and just go through whatever questions you want to ask her, and see. I mean, there you go. That would be hugely beneficial to her.
They need to. Well,
could electrocute her, but it'd be hugely beneficial.
They need to hook up all politicians who go on the shows, any show. You should be hooked up to a lie detector. You know, it would be funny though. If, you know, like when they introduce her and she comes out from behind the curtain, she's on a medical gurney. You know, with like
right.
IVs.
But only TV doctors are working on her.
Oh, yeah. It's like George Clooney.
Right.
It's like the old cast of ER.
Right. Right.
I think are supporters of her. They're all supporters of her at the same time.
Oh, it's
medical
just,
humor. It's hilarious.
All right. So the Emmys on Sunday night. It's Sunday night, right?
Sunday night.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel is hosting. Starts at 6 o'clock Chicago time. Everyone is saying it's going to be Game of Thrones. It's going to be Veep. People versus OJ expected to win tons of award. You want me to go down some of the top
yep.
categories?
Yeah, give me a category. I'll give you a winner.
For best comedy, Blackish, Master of None, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, Transparent, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep are your nominees.
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, very funny show.
Last year it was all the major categories, non-network, non-broadcast.
I think you're going to see that this year as well.
Everything was cable or online.
Give me another category. I'll give you another winner.
The best dramas.
Yeah.
The best dramas.
Yeah, give me dramas.
The Americans, Better Call Saul, mm-hmm. Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, and Mr. Robot.
I'm going to go with, this is tough.
Oh, come on. It's obvious.
You think it's House of Cards?
No. Thrones is going to win, I'm sure. That Mr. Robot, though, is a big deal.
I was thinking Mr. Robot.
I've never
upset.
Watched it.
It's an industry favorite.
I'm going to go with Game of Cards. It's a.
I don't
it's
think so.
Kevin Spacey showed up on House of Cards.
It's a hybrid
show. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hybrid show. It's one of those crossover shows. Where
rule of three. Give me one more.
Some of the cast members. Lead actor in a comedy.
Got this one.
Anthony Anderson in Blackish.
Nope.
Aziz Ansari in Master of None.
Nope.
Will Forte, Last Man on Earth.
Nope.
William H. Macy in Shameless.
Nope.
Thomas Middleditch in Silicon Valley.
Hey, watch your mouth.
And Jeffrey Tambor in Transparent.
Wow, that's a rough category. I thought I had a clear winner there.
What happened to Ty Burrell? Or is he in supporting?
Mm-mm. Not.
I'm going to go with Middleditch. Give me a middle ditch. Give me a middle ditch again from Silicon Valley.
Thomas Middle Ditch?
Yeah, I like a middle ditch.
I just like his name.
I do too.
I don't really care if he wins. I can't look. Wait till Monday so I can say over and over and over, middle ditch, middle ditch, middle ditch.
Right, and if middle ditch does win Sunday night, that will be your phrase that pays on Monday.
Ty Burrell, Mary, is nominated for Best Supporting in a Comedy.
Okay. Oh,
there a funny dude.
With Louis Anderson, Andre Brower, Keegan-Michael Key, Titus Burgess, who I also want to win just for his name. Tony Hale and Matt Walsh.
If Titus Burgess married Middleditch, his name would be Titus Middleditch. That would be really good.
That's right.
All right, we'll do some movies when we come back. You'll review the weekend?
Whatever you want.
All right,
it's your
fine.
Show.
It's 8:19 and also the continued fallout from the primetime special at WGN-TV. Was there any fallout?
Just more of my hair.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Top man, pro and steady.
Back to Channel 9, where Dean Richards is standing by. And let's talk about the movies for the weekend. What's opening?
We have a couple of throwbacks, because there are no original ideas in Hollywood anymore. I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Yeah.
You taught me that.
15 years ago, we first met Bridget Jones in the, I think most people agreed, the original Bridget Jones Diary was kind of charming and a nice little romantic comedy.
Cute, very cute.
Second movie, not so much. Third movie.
Second movie, she was a trained assassin, right? Is that the one?
That was hard to believe for a lot of people. A lot of hard.
Quite a plot twist.
Hard to believe. And this time she's a proctologist for some reason.
That is even stranger.
We're not entirely. It doesn't really even make sense in the storyline. No, it's she's celebrating a birthday, feeling like life is passing her by, and decides to get a little wild in her life. Winds up having a one-night stand with an American stranger, as anybody would do when they're feeling, like life is passing them by.
Lord knows I have.
This particular stranger happens to be Dr. McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy.
Yep,
Patrick Dempsey. Same with Steve. You know, hey, they don't call him McDreamy for nothing.
Right, right, right.
No one can escape
his... One look into those eyes and you're done.
No one can escape his charm. So the little one-night stand takes place. A few days later, she runs into her former heartthrob, Mr. Darcy from the original movies, Colin Firth.
Yeah, me too.
Another night, one night stand takes place. Steve, you're never going to believe she winds up pregnant after sleeping around like that.
So this is Bridget Jones' Diary, the slut years? What is...
I am so excited about this movie.
Bridget Jones' Baby, it's called, Steve. Okay. Bridget right, Jones' Baby.
So what happened?
Colon, the slut years.
Stop. So what happened to Hugh Grant?
Well,
why didn't he do this?
He had a scheduling conflict.
Hugh Grant, I don't want to give away too much.
He had
much.
A difference in creative control.
You, what? In the movie,
he wanted to spend more time with his family.
Did he die?
No, he's around.
In the movie, you
see what happened to him. I don't want to give it away.
Okay. He was hit by one of those charming double-decker buses.
It's a little bit of a couple of funny moments in the
big
movie.
Black cab got him.
But please say it's good.
Turns out he had a one-night stand with Patrick Dempsey. Everyone's having one-night stands with Patrick Dempsey. Everybody's doing it. So the movie is about her trying to figure out who the father is. She is not sure who is the father. She needs Maury Povich here to help her out. 2 hours of just trying to figure out. I spent 2 hours trying to figure out why, after all these movies, they just didn't get a British actress to do this role instead of an American actress butchering the accent. It's like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
That's what we're talking about, right?
To me, that's what the whole thing sounds like. But you know what? The movie, there are definitely some laughs to be had. Mary, I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
Good.
When you go to see this.
What about looking at her? Does she look so much different that it's bothersome?
She does not look any different to me.
Really?
She looks a little bit older.
I don't understand the whole thing about her face. To me, you look at Courtney Cox and... certainly Meg Ryan and women who have just gone overboard. I don't see anything about her.
You wouldn't look at her. You wouldn't look at her and say that she's had any work done, number one.
She's got the squinty eyes going still.
She does
and
still have that. Well, that was, she's always had this.
Yeah, she's so cute.
The squinty eyes and I just ate a lemon look on her, mm-hmm. Her
tart.
Pouty little mm-hmm. mouth. But she's kind of cute in the movie. She looks fine. She doesn't look like, she hacked herself up with cosmetic surgery, if indeed that is really
no Botox,
what's happened. She's denied it. She looks age appropriate, I think, in this. But the movie itself is, there's definitely some laughs in here. And if you're a fan of this franchise and of romantic comedies, I think you're going to like it. It's a little bit predictable. I mean, you can sort of see where the ending is going to go, but it's like visiting with an old acquaintance here. I gave it a Dean's List B-.
How about this Blair Witch remake? Do we need this?
Hated it. Never. I haven't liked any of these Blair Witch movies. Every single one of them, when I go to see them, seriously, I should take some Dramamine before I go see these movies. You think I would know better. They literally make me nauseous with this jerky camera movement. It's my number one pet peeve with movies. But here's the plot line. A bunch of friends head into those same old haunted woods. This time, Steve...
You'd think they'd learn.
Here's the new twist, though. Here's the new twist. This time they have GoPros and drones.
Oh, sure they do. Yeah.
Oh, drones. Oh, that's going to be good.
That's what
makes... Did the drones drop the F-bomb as much as everyone else does in that show?
That's what makes the movie the technology. A couple of white-knuckle moments in this movie. I've never liked this franchise after seeing this. I still don't like this franchise. You know, I know a lot of you do. I give it a Dean's List D, so no, not for me.
What about Oliver Stone and Snowden?
Snowden, a little bit on the flat side, I think. This is a story that's told 100% from Edward Snowden's point of view. Oliver Stone makes no attempt to, you know, try to make this objective in any way. It's his point of view. And it tells how Snowden got into his position with the Intelligence Bureau of getting into the position, why he decided to leak documents from the NSA. It takes us through his having to leave the country, because a lot of people think that he's a traitor. A lot of people think that he's a hero. I guess you can decide on your own. I just think the movie is tedious. It's like 2.5 hours long. It's slow-paced. The performances are great. Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Snowden is quite good. Shailene Woodley is in the movie. She's good. Melissa Leo, Zachary Quinto, Tom Wilkerson. Great cast. Not so great script, and really slow paced. I was a little bit bored with this whole thing. Honestly, you could do a Google search and learn as much about Snowden as you do in this 2.5 hours. Dean's List C on that one.
All right, and you're on the radio Sunday?
With the cast, the Chicago cast of Hamilton. We sat down and talked with them this week. We've got interviews with all the primary people. And next week on the Sunday show, one-on-one with the creator of Hamilton, the original star of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but a week from Sunday, on our Sunday morning show.
And have you told them that DeCoste and I are doing our own play, Millard?
I thought I was going to.
Millard Fillmore?
Yeah, I was going to wait and let the lawyers sort that out.
Oh, so you didn't want to bring that up?
Once the lawsuits. I didn't want to give him an idea that he's got a pending lawsuit coming up when he hits Chicago, when the musical opens here on September 27th.
That's probably not a terrible idea on your part.
Millard's a fantastic idea, though.
Yeah, Millard. Can you see the lights? The giant M-I-L-L-A-R-D. We're going to get the whole crowd to chant it at one time.
Big logo in front of the Cadillac Palace Theater of a big fat man in a bathtub.
Yeah, my name is Millard. No, you're thinking of Taft. Millard wasn't that
the
fat.
First one with the bathtub?
No, that was Taft. Taft put the bathtub in the White House.
Fillmore was the one that died after like a month in office.
Was that McKinley? That was McKinley.
That was McKinley.
No, it was William Henry Harrison.
Oh, that was Harrison. Okay. No, Millard Fillmore. Millard Fillmore is most famous for being the only president named Millard.
Clearly, I need to spend a little more time with the history books and a little less time with Bridget Jones.
Do you remember when Millard Fillmore was on Fallon and Fallon messed up his hair? That was great.
Called him Millie.
Wasn't he the one that said, "We have just begun to fight"?
Yeah.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Wasn't that him?
He was also the one that said the British are coming. That was him as well.
Don't fire until you see the lights in their eyes.
Yeah, and he threw something at George Washington on the Thames River.
Which one was the one with wooden teeth? I know one of them had wooden teeth.
But, you know, since you brought up John DeCoste, it was you, wasn't it? The Steve Cochran Comedy Tour is coming to Governor State, Dean.
No.
Governor State University on September 24th. That's a week from tomorrow night. And it'll include Pat McGann, Rocky LaPorte, John DeCoste, and me.
Funny, and more funny.
Yeah, it's going to be a very funny show. And get your tickets at govstate.edu or just search Governor State and the Steve Cochran Show, and you can get them right there.
I'm ordering as we speak.
I don't think you are because you get comps.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The future is now! Soon every American home will integrate their television, phone, and computer. You'll be able to visit the Louvre on one channel, or watch female mud wrestling on another. You can do your shopping at home, or play Mortal Kombat with a friend in Vietnam. There's no end to the possibilities.
And that's how we got Dumb and Dumber. It's 8:43, the Steve Cochran Show in the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. Oh, it's time. It's time for Kim Potts' best guest ever. Kim Potts, the Yahoo TV gal, joins us live from her secret TV location. You actually live inside a television?
You know my secret now. That's how I watch so much television.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Did you ever go to a friend's house and the TV's on, like for a party or a barbecue or something? Could you just turn that crap off?
You know, when that happens, it's always on something that I don't watch, and so that's a little irritating.
And everybody who knows what you do must ask you every question about television, right?
They do. But that's fun. I mean, you know, that's definitely one of the fun parts of the job is always being able to talk about TV with people.
We're just talking to our Dean Richards about the Emmys. I think Kimmel's going to be a pretty good host.
He is. You know what? I don't think there are any better choices than him. He's just such a likable guy. He can cover everything. I think he can get away with some jokes that other people couldn't. Yeah, I think that's the thing I'm most looking forward to about the Emmys.
Ray Donovan season finale on Sunday. It's a great show. I assume it's got legs for the future.
It absolutely does. It's already been renewed for season 4, and I had a chance to watch the finale this week. It's good. I think everybody will be happy with the way they wrap up the season.
Vice Principals season finale on Sunday night. Never liked it.
It's a tough show. The tone is weird. It's inconsistent. It has made me laugh out loud several times this season, but it's also left me scratching my head several times this season. It's a definitely an odd show.
There's something about administrative abuse of children, even if they're high school children, that just rubs me the wrong way. I don't see the funny in it.
It's tough. The two lead characters, I think, can be funny when they're doing kind of a buddy cop kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it is a weird, weird show.
And I thought that's where Veep missed this year, because Veep it basically made everybody on the show unlikable, including Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the lead character, as a terrible mother and a terrible daughter. And I don't know. I mean, I know a ton of people think I'm wrong about this, but I think they lost it this year. I hope they find their way back, because I love Veep.
I think a lot of people feel like you do. A lot of people loved it and thought it was the best season, but it seems like just as many thought it was definitely their least favorite season.
Yeah, it just got mean.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of comedies, that's a real problem with comedies, especially in their later seasons. They kind of, I think, don't really know where to take characters, and sometimes they just make them very mean.
CBS doing a 2-night, 4-hour Case of JonBenet Ramsey. Everybody knows this story by now. Little girl in the beauty pageants. She disappears in her own home overnight. The family is suspected for years. The mother has since died. The brother does an interview with Dr. Phil this week. What does CBS have that we don't already know?
They are hinting very strongly that they've said that they had all of the original investigators go and reopen it and examine everything again using the technology that's available now, DNA. They completely rebuilt parts of the Ramsey house right down to the same wallpaper and carpeting so that they could run tests again of, you know, various witnesses and things that they had found back then. They claim that all of the investigators, once they had these new opportunities to do this, all came to the same conclusion. So they're not coming out and saying they have, solved the crime now, but they are saying that everyone who went back and investigated it came to the same conclusion this time.
All right, so we're going to run through the week here and as the new shows premiere. Then we'll come back after traffic and we'll hit you with some questions. Big Bang Theory Season 10. I'm no longer interested. Am I the only one?
You know what? It's actually a pretty great season premiere. It's packed with guest stars, Judd Hirsch, Katie Sagal, Jack McBrayer. It's worth a look. They are trying some different things. I mean, again, in season 10, I think it could go the same way that you were just talking about with Veep. You can make characters a little too mean or a little too over the top. But they're trying to keep it fresh in season 10. I think there's a lot there that they could do.
They dialed down the laugh track. That'd be a good start. I love Kristen Bell, and The Good Place looks funny. Is it funny?
It is very funny, and it kind of promises to get even better. Ted Danson, also great. She is so likable, even in those washer-dryer commercials. I think she's charming.
I'm so excited about this.
This looks like it's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely one to watch and give it a few episodes and, you know, see if it hooks you. I think it will.
Kevin Can Wait with Kevin James. It's just a different version of Kevin James being funny. He's a friend and we like him, and I hope it's a hit.
I love it too. I love King of Queens. I think is one of the great underrated comedies ever. Underappreciated for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
He is so charming, so likable. It is definitely him being Kevin James and the Kevin James that we all love. It's not quite I think, where King of Queens was. But then again, I have gone back and watched the Kings of Queens in the early episodes. It took it a while to gel as well. So I think this is one to check out and stick with for a while.
Bull, I didn't realize this until I saw your notes. Bull, this drama coming to CBS, comedy drama, I guess. It's based on Dr. Phil?
Yes, Dr. Phil, before he was Dr. Phil, and in fact, the way he became the Dr. Phil that we know was that he was a consultant when Oprah was being sued by the Texas cattlemen. Remember, she did that show about how beef was bad. Dr. Phil was her trial consultant. That was his business. And so that's what this show is. It's based on his early career as a trial. He was, you know, kind of the same kind of guy that he was. Now Michael Weatherly, after leaving NCIS, is playing this character who is based on Dr. Phil.
Another show which you've seen tons and tons and tons of promos for, and it looks like a combination of like Parenthood and 30-something and Sisters. This Is Us. Is that any good?
It is fantastic. And I have to say those promos had actually kind of turned me off because you were seeing it so much and they were playing that kind of maudlin music as the soundtrack. But it is absolutely one of the two or three that I think you really should check out. Great premise. There's a big twist at the end that it's hard to surprise people. It's hard to do twists now that people don't feel like they've seen a million times. This one does. It's fantastic. The cast is great. It's definitely one to check out. And again, be prepared to like it a lot more than you thought you would.
Empire back on Wednesday night. Chicago PD on Wednesday night. Mr. Robot season finale Wednesday night. Grey's Anatomy back on Thursday. When is Scandal back?
Scandal.
Is that a January?
Oh, you know what? Yes, I think that is a January. That's a mid-season this time.
Okay, Blacklist season 4 starts on Thursday. How to Get Away with Murder, that's back on Thursday. MacGyver season premiere. There's tons and tons of TV to be talking about. Will we be talking about Speechless with Minnie Driver?
Oh, that is my favorite pilot of the new season. She plays a very tough fight for her kid mom, who her teenage son has cerebral palsy. And the show is really much less about that than about how it affects the entire family and how they deal with it. It's much funnier than you would think that topic might be. Real-life parents of children who have special needs have all backed it and said they love it. It's very true to their situations and how their families deal with it. It's just a great cast, and it is much, much funnier, again, than you think it would be. Lots of heart. It's really a great show.
We will come back and talk about our whiny staff questions.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Whiny staff questions. Let's go to Mary Vanderbilt. What do you have?
Yes. Okay, Kim. Remember the great show, The Family, last year?
Yes.
And it got canceled. We were all bummed. And we said there's a possibility somebody may pick it up. Did anyone pick it up?
They didn't, unfortunately. Oh. You know, that's such a tough situation. Sometimes right out of the gate, a Netflix or someone will pick up a show that's been canceled. But at this point, I think it's fair to assume it's probably not going to land anywhere.
Which show were you talking about? So,
The Family.
The Family. I don't remember.
So good. Who is the woman in it again? Who was it?
I can't remember
either.
She's been in a ton of things that we all know and love.
Yeah, it sounds great. You both are so excited about it. Neither one of you can remember who the lead is.
It was a great show about a boy that comes back after being, you know, gone. He was kidnapped for years. He comes back.
Yeah, I remember the previous one. Dave, question for Kim.
Yes, Kim, and designated survivor. I think you mentioned this one, but of all the shows that have been promoted very heavily, this is the one that's kind of got my attention. Am I going to be disappointed?
You know, as long as you go into it knowing that it is not President Jack Bauer, start there, and then you can enjoy it. You can. Kiefer is great as always. It's a very interesting premise. I mean, I think a lot of people don't necessarily know that this is a real thing, that there is this person, you know, who was pu- put in a very safe place whenever, you know, there's a gathering with a lot of other senators and congressmen and the president. So this is a real thing. He is fantastic in it. He plays a very different character, though. He's a very meek kind of guy who doesn't even have a lot of experience in politics, and is thrown into this, you know, incredible, almost unbelievable position. The interesting thing is that you don't necessarily know from the pilot where it's going to go. Certainly they're going to have to rebuild the entire government. Again, this is a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience with politics, which can be a good thing because he kind of comes at it with a very fresh take. But there are always people who have agendas, even with most of the government gone. There are still people waiting to oppose him. With that, there's the whole aspect of the terrorist incident that made all of this happen. So, you know, that's a whole other aspect of the show. It's going to be a lot of different things. And I think the really interesting thing is, can they do all those? Can it be an action show and a show about rebuilding the government and a show about this kind of, I mean, I think especially in this particular election year, there's a very hopeful everyman kind of, you know, to this guy becoming the president. And that's kind of interesting.
I hope it works. But it's such an odd choice for Kiefer Sutherland to make as his next big thing.
Yeah.
Because it's got whiffs of terrorism, which takes everybody to 24, and the comparison is impossible not to make.
That's true. And that's, again, I think that's really their hurdle, is everyone just accepting that he's not that. Although, again, I think just because of the situation, we are going to see him do some heroic things. Right. And that's interesting from the point of view of him not being, you know, that kind of heroic character.
All right, so before we go, a couple of quickies here. Any word on X-Files coming back?
I think it's going to happen.
Okay, Homeland on Showtime, not back till January?
Not back till January, but they actually just began filming in New York last week. It sounds promising. Quinn is back. I know that's the question that all of us have because we came to love that character so much. He's definitely back. We don't know what condition he's in, but he will be back.
And will Better Late Than Never be a recurring series with old people?
It's very
you know
funny.
What? We had Henry Winkler in the Yahoo offices right before the show, actually the day the show premiered. He is so, I mean, you know.
Great guy. Fabulous guy.
So fantastic. He wants to do another series and with the same people, another season with the same people. So I think they will end up doing it. I think it's just a matter of where it might go.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
We kind of made a full-out effort this morning to make sure you knew about a big damn tech day going on in Chicago. A connection between two of the world's great cities, London and Chicago. Well, I'd say those are my two favorite cities, London and Chicago. Don't get me wrong, I liked West Dryden in upstate New York where I grew up, but honestly, it was 215 people.
How about East St. Louis?
East St. Louis is fine. You know, that's where I have my mobile home.
Right.
Yeah. But let's bring in somebody here who can speak to what's going on in Chicago today, as Howard Tolman did earlier, but this time it's Emma Sinclair, co-founder of the Enterprise Jungle, and a delegate on the trade mission between London, the United States, 1871, Chicago, and more. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me what Enterprise Jungle is.
We are an innovative, scalable software company that focuses on HR and talent. So we're part of a group of technology entrepreneurs that are all related to the enterprise that are over from London this week.
All right, so Sadiq Khan, the new mayor, is here. By the way, how is he being received in London?
Wonderfully. There's been a lot of support. He showed great interest in the entrepreneurial and business community, which sends a great sign to all of those of us that were a little bit nervous post-Brexit, that he really has his eye on stimulating, curating, and nurturing this wonderful ecosystem that most of us have grown with and grown up with in London.
And I've heard people say, and you would certainly know better than I, that technology is a great way to combat the possible negative impact of Brexit, which is yet to be realized, whether it happens or not.
Yeah, I think so. I think the other thing is that entrepreneurs typically find ways around problems. That's really what we're designed to do. So I think both the technology community and indeed the rest of the London's business and entrepreneurial community will be flexible and will continue to evolve as one of the world's world-class financial centers.
In this idiotic presidential race that we have here, trade has been a constant question. Trade deals, trade things of that nature. Innovative trade hasn't been discussed at any level of significance. And that really is the future for all of us, right?
It is, yes. And I think that it's actually just happening in the background. I think one of the things that we forget is whether you're a startup or a corporate or a local government entity, there's great symbiosis between all of us. And there are so many proof points that point towards the influence that the three of us have on each other. So there are plenty of projects that are going on in the background that really continue to stimulate the economy. And whilst it may not have the media's eye on it, I can assure you it's certainly happening behind the scenes.
There are 500 startups who are working daily at 1871 to make a difference in the world. Is there a similar startup hub centralized location in London?
There are. I mean, there are different pockets depending on the type of technology or type of business. London is typically an area that people attribute with technology. It's often called Silicon Roundabout. And there are a ton of great incubators, much like 1871 in London, places like Wayra, that's backed by Telefonica, that are incredible hubs for not just young people, but people that have come out of large enterprises with great ideas. And really being in a hub, being in a community, being with their tribe, people who understand what they're trying to achieve, is a really great way to catalyze those businesses growing. So yes, we do benefit from the same sort of ecosystems, of course.
We have, Howard Tolman spoke to this earlier, we have a lot of growth in the area of fintech, financial tech, but people are concerned, of course, about security and the fact that all of our money is digitally interconnected. What are we doing as far as safety of the money supply?
There are fantastic cybersecurity businesses. And of course, one of the wonderful things about the USA and the United Kingdom as financial centers is that the safety of your money, the financial security, is absolutely imperative. So corporates and startups have their eye on the ball. And as you say, there are a ton of startups in Chicago who are focusing their eyes on any cracks there might be in those systems and how to solve them.
You have a new prime minister. She has only been on the job for a brief period of time. But depending on the length of tenure of Angela Merkel, if Hillary Clinton were to win, we would have women running three of the great powers of the world in 2016 and 2017 for at least a period of time. Is the technology world welcoming that the way they should?
I think that everybody's welcoming it the way it should. I think we respect diversity, and it's a wonderful time to be a woman. I think it sends a great message to the pipeline of talent, to young people around the world, that really it doesn't matter what sex you are, really a meritocracy, and the best talent can rise. I remember when I was at college or even when I was at school, there was no talk about diversity. There weren't any female leaders. When I started my first job in banking, there was really only one or two directors who were female that I could look up to. So I just think it's a wonderful time for the world because, really what's very important as we all grow and evolve as people, whatever we're doing for a living or whatever we're doing with our life, is that we can find people that we can relate to and we find people who we can aspire to be more like or we can learn from. So I think it's fantastic, and I'm very excited to see the outcome of the elections here.
Well, it's great modeling for little girls, right? But also, exactly. I think for little girls and little boys who grow up to go, look, everybody gets their fair shot, maximize your life and do the best you can in the world.
Absolutely, and for young boys to respect young women too. It's just a really great lesson for everybody. It's not just women, as you say. It's just great models for everybody.
In technology, is there a gender split that's obvious? I mean, is there a gender split in code writing versus sales versus marketing, or is it all kind of a mix?
Well, it's very well documented, both in the US and in the UK, that there are, the talent in the coding and the tech community is much smaller for women than it is for men. And there's a lot of emphasis, certainly in the United Kingdom, we have a lot of programs for children, for young adults, for teenagers, that really emphasizes STEM, that really emphasizes the kind of subjects that really you need to carry on with through school to give yourself the opportunity to be coders. And I think one of the great things about trips like this, and so many, there's 50% of the people on this trip are female, is that people get to see that you don't also have to be a techie in order to run a tech business. My training was not in technology, and I'm now in enterprise software. So there are so many ways that these businesses are accessible. But what I do really hope, because the statistics are terrifying, is that young people, children, teenagers, young women stick with some of those subjects, maths and sciences, that give them the opportunity to go into tech, because it's not just boys in hoodies, which is often the sort of caricature stereotype of what the technology industry is, because I certainly don't fit that bill.
People want to find out more about Enterprise Jungle. Where do they go?
EnterpriseJungle.com or find me on Twitter, ES_entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, nice to talk to you. You're a very fascinating woman, and I hope we can cross paths again. In the meantime, the most obvious question, and watch me reach out internationally, David, here. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite football club, Emma?
Oh, gosh, that's not fair. My father was born in Luton, so I'm going to go with that one, which means you'll have no idea who I'm talking about, and we can't have a football battle.
Yeah, see, I'm a Spurs fan because one of my best friends is involved with the team.
I grew up there. I grew up going to Spurs. My father, for business, used to go there regularly. So I remember the days, which you may remember, when you went to the players' lounges after a game and you got to get their autograph and they signed your program if you were a kid. Obviously, things are just not like that anymore. But I did, as it happened, actually grow up at White Hart Lane. I spent a lot of my weekends there.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is my friend Paul Coit, who used to be BBC and Virgin and various other radio networks there, he actually does that job that Emma's describing. He is the guy in the players' lounge. Now it's all VIPs and people to pay a lot of money. But players' lounge where people can go and meet the players. So
I'll have to track him down for my godchildren.
Paul Coit. Yes, you will. Emma, all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
That's Emma Sinclair. And boy, what a beautiful, beautiful fake accent.
Yeah, I don't think so.
She's from Cicero.
Really?
Yeah.
You really couldn't tell?
No, it's not a fake accent. I'm kidding. It's 9:20. You want to get a little radio whiplash? Here's a shift of gears. An English accent to NASCAR. We'll come back and talk about what's going on in Joliet this weekend with the great Pete Pistone. Talked to him just before the show this morning. We're back with that in a minute on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in race cars. Well, not exactly. But the NASCAR playoffs open this weekend in Joliet at Chicagoland Speedway. Dave and I talked to Pete Pistone very early this morning before he did his own radio show at 6 o'clock. And there's a heck of a buzz going on, especially if you're going this weekend, you're aware of it. But let's talk a little NASCAR.
I'm very excited, Steve. I think this is going to be fun this year. We got a bit of a different look to the 16 drivers that are in this year's chase. Veteran guys, rookies, some upset possibility. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We kick it off this weekend here in Joliet.
And you're doing the show from Joliet. It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400. Like, nobody gets sponsors like NASCAR gets sponsors. And I love this idea, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles race. Are you more of a Tommy man? What were the I'm trying to remember the characters. My son was way into them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Donatello, Michelangelo. Yeah, I you know.
Yeah, there
I
was no one named Tommy, was there?
No, there was no Tommy.
That was a Power Ranger.
That's right, it was a Power Ranger. The hell am I talking about? Let's go in reverse order here. You've got Junior, who has been out for a while, and for people who are casual fans of the sport, what's the story there?
He suffered a concussion back in August, and he is actually going to step away for the rest of the season. So a little bit of a scary situation there with Dale Jr. We talked to him about 2 weeks ago. He does plan to come back for the Daytona 500 next year. So his car is being driven by a young driver named Alex Bowman. But in terms of star power in the playoffs, you don't have the sport's most popular driver. So that's a bit of a hit for NASCAR this time around.
Tony Stewart's going to retire. At least he says he is at the end of the year. Where's he at?
Tony Stewart made the chase. He missed some races himself this year with a back injury, but when he came back, he won when we were out in Sonoma, and he stayed inside the top 30 in points. So he has a chance to run for a championship, as you say, Steve, in his final season. He's going to retire at the end of the year. This would be his fourth championship. I would say that I wouldn't put him on my list of top favorites to win a championship, but I got to also say I've been around here long enough to know don't count him out if he's got a race car that's capable of running up front. And lately, he's had a race car capable of running up front, so we'll see what Tony does.
And what's going on with Jimmy Johnson? Because he was the can't-miss guy, and now people are going, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I made a joke earlier this week when we talked to Jimmy. I said I was looking on the side of a milk carton to see if I could see your picture. I haven't seen you, like, all summer.
Wow.
He laughed. I think what happens is a lot of times if you win in the regular season, you're automatically in.
Right.
He won early. And I think what that does is it gives teams a little bit of a benefit to try some things because there's really not, they want to win races, but there's not as much on the line in terms of points. So you try different setups, you try different strategies. And I think he was very honest when I talked to him to say that that's what they did, but they feel like they've got a bunch of cards that are going to be very, very competitive when the chase rolls around. So again, he's another guy. He's won 6 championships. If he gets number 7 this year, he'll tie Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt for the all-time NASCAR record. So let's watch the 48 team and Jimmy Johnson.
Dave, say hi to Pete.
Pete, how about Kevin Harvick?
Kevin Harvick. Here's how I can sum up Kevin Harvick, Dave. The other day he sent out a tweet, and he said, here's my attitude for the chase. And it was a picture of a bull at a bullfighting event jumping into the stands, running people over. So I think that should tell you where Kevin's coming from. He won the championship in 2014. And he's probably one of the more aggressive drivers we have here. And as I say, he's very determined to show that 2014 wasn't a fluke. So I would certainly count him, among my pre-chase favorites as maybe being another champion this year.
Pete, how much prestige is tied into having the first race of the chase here at Chicagoland Speedway?
Well, I think this is the 6th year now, Dave, that that's happened. And, yesterday there was a big NASCAR media event, a lot of national media there, a lot of local media there. And Scott Paddock, who's the president of the racetrack out here, I think he understands the magnitude of it. And NASCAR wants to be in a market with a big footprint. And we obviously have a big footprint here in Chicago. Now, a lot of times he has to deal with the Cubs and the Bears and all, and obviously that's going on this year. But I think, being here is what NASCAR wants. They want to resonate in a large market. Chicago has done a really good job, I think, of embracing this since it's happened. And we're expecting on Sunday afternoon, weather's supposed to be perfect. Scott told me he's expecting a crowd of about 75,000 out here, which would be very near capacity.
And it's a great, great family day. It's a great event. I hope people do come out because, as you said, the weather's fantastic. And I don't know if you heard the Bears suck. And they're not playing on Sunday anyway.
Right.
I got Denny Hamlin to wrap it up. After winning the 500, I think he wins it all this year. Who's your pick?
I think that's a good pick. And you know why I like that pick? Denny Hamlin's won 2 of the last 5 races. He seems to be peaking at the right time. I'm having a hard time going against the Joe Gibbs Racing team. Denny Hamlin's part of that team. Kyle Busch won last year. But I got a sneaking suspicion it's going to be our friend from north of the Cheddar Curtain, Matt Kenseth from Cambridge, Wisconsin,
really?
Who's going to win the championship this year. Yep.
And give me a surprise. Always like when you pick a surprise.
Martin Truex Jr. Snuck in last year, got all the way down to the championship 4. He's been very good this year, but guess what? No one's talking about him again. So that could be a surprise if you see a guy named Martin Truex Jr. hoisting the trophy when we're down at Homestead, Florida, the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Have fun at Joliet this weekend and get out and support NASCAR because the playoffs were invented by them in these sports. My friends in golf ripped it off, and it seems to be working for both sports. But it's an exciting time, so have fun.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon.
Pete Pistone, what's his Twitter handle? Do you know?
I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, so do I. I don't have it in front of me.
It'll take me a second.
He's like to plug the social media for our guests wherever we can. Is it at Vroom Vroom?
It is.
Is it at Nan Nan Nan?
Yes, that's it. That's it. No, it's at P Pistone.
Who would have guessed?
P-I-S-T-O-N-E.
P-P. At P-P Estone.
That's it. That's yes.
Do you ever notice how people make a decision to rationalize it later? Car can be an emotional choice. Take the all-new Chevy Malibu. Car's a masterpiece. Work of technological art. Sure, you can get 16% off MSRP. And that's over $4,400 cash in your pocket. But think about it. You're driving a car with more computer power than the rocket we sent to the moon, 4G LTE Wi-Fi, that turns your car into a mobile hotspot. Connect up to 7 devices. You got your lane change alert, your rear vision camera, your braking assist. This car practically drives itself. Beauty and brains at Chevy Malibu is a complete package. And with over $4,400 cash, it's the icing on the cake. You have until September 30th to close this deal, so head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today or log on to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Maybe you could even get yourself a nice blue Chevy Impala.
Blue Thunder.
Stopped. I don't know what happened.
What happened to your recording there?
It was
Dave?
Really well done. I was really impressed until it just shut off. Log on to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Find out why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland 5 years running. It's a match made in heaven. Get yourself your brand-new Chevy. What am I doing? We're breaking. Then we're coming back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Donald Trump expected to make a statement any minute now on whether or not President Obama was born in America. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. Campaign 2016 is ridiculous. Trump yesterday did not take the opportunity to say, yes, of course, he was born in America. I've seen the birth certificate. He continued to say, I won't talk about it. And my campaign people can say anything they want. Apparently, someone in the campaign has gotten to him and said, if you hope to have anything more than the 1% of black voters you currently have, you may want to correct the record on this. So he is allegedly going to make a statement today on it. But he is not the Trump that had the worst day yesterday. Ivanka had a bad day. Ivanka ended up walking out of a Cosmo interview earlier this week and walking out of another interview yesterday when she didn't like the line of questioning. But nobody had quite as bad a day as Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump Jr. Used a very unfortunate reference when blasting the media coverage of Secretary Clinton. Here's that.
And the media has been her number one surrogate in this. Without the media, this wouldn't even be a contest. But the media has built her up. They've let her slide on every, you know, indiscrepancy, on every lie, on every, you know, DNC game trying to get Bernie Sanders out of the thing. I mean, if Republicans were doing that, they'd be warming up the gas chamber right now.
Don't think a gas chamber reference is going to help your cause.
No.
Not a great idea. Not a great idea at all. Meanwhile, the concept and the question came up, is it true that your father took money from the Trump Foundation charitable donations and spent it on a 6-foot-tall portrait of himself, Junior?
2 weeks conveniently before the election, he investigates something that's been taken care of through the Florida Attorney General's office months ago. It just plays into the rigged system dialogue. It's so perfect because it shows you how corrupt the system really is.
You're a director of the Trump Foundation charity. Did you sign off on charity money for a portrait?
No, I don't know anything about that.
So it happened, you didn't know?
I'm not worried. I'm not involved in it.
I don't know anything about it. How about it didn't happen? Now, Dave, if you took money from, say, the charitable work that we all do here on the show or the money I contribute to various causes,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly there was a 6-foot portrait on the wall of you in here, not that it wouldn't look great.
Thank you.
I might know where that money came from. I might ask a few questions. Are there so many portraits of Dad hanging around the mansion and around all the Trump? Well, you know, now that I think about it, there probably are. Junior probably could have said, how do I know which portrait you're talking about?
I'm not worried. I'm not involved in it.
Guy's got his name on every building. He's got pictures of him hanging everywhere. But here's my favorite Donald Trump Jr. moment from yesterday. His dad has not released his tax returns. And double dog darn it. Gosh darn it. Why should he? Listen.
He's got a 12,000-page tax return that would create probably 300 million independent financial auditors out of every person in the country asking questions that are going to distract from his main message.
But he did promise he was going to do it, right?
I don't know what he's promised about it. I don't know.
So not releasing the tax returns because it would detract from his message?
I think it would detract from his message because you have a lot of... There's no law about it. There may be precedent, but there's also... I'd say there's no... there's also never been a politician in history that's had... as much in terms of business, that's done as much, that has a 12,000-page tax return. It's just a different question. So, you know, that's up to him. But, you know, our tax guys would say, hey, it's crazy to do it. You're just allowing everyone to be an independent auditor. And as we've all seen, you know, asking the question these days almost implies guilt, even if there's nothing there. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
So, in other words, instead of showing the tax return to everybody, as every candidate has done, and there's so much I can knock Hillary Clinton on, but I can't knock her on this. The Clintons have released 40 years of tax returns. Instead of showing the tax return, Donald Trump Jr.'s argument is, if you show it, then people will just see it. And we don't want that, because if they see it, then they'll be able to know what's in it. Well, we can't have that. Why would we release the tax? This is how ridiculous this has gotten. Why would we release the tax return? Because all that's going to mean is people will just know what's in it. Good cover, Junior.
And it will create accountants for every American?
300 million Americans will then be individually analyzing it. Yeah, all 12,000 pages. Look, how many times have we said this in the last year? You can't make it up. 9:47. Bill and Wendy at 10. It's Friday. Show's almost over, but we're not done yet on 720 WGN.
No, I don't know anything about that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Now. Bills fans last night ended up losing a game, but also if you're tailgating at a Buffalo Bills game, there's a new directive that kind of takes the fun out of tailgating. Dave, you never, ever, 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 ever get to tailgate because you're calling the games.
Well, I get to tailgate after the games.
How does that work?
Well, when I'm done with the broadcast.
But everybody's gone then.
No, a lot of people stick around afterwards.
So when you walk out to your car, do you stop at various places and have people offer you bratwurst and various things?
Sometimes.
You meet new friends that way?
Sometimes. I mean, I park amidst tailgaters. I just don't happen to be tailgating.
Do you come out like it's kind of discreetly and you have a hat on, you sort of with your eyes down because you don't want to be recognized after a game? Or do you come out and go, anyone have any questions? I'm David at Voice of the Cats.
Depends on if they win.
Somewhere in between, Steve.
Okay. So basically, you just walked your car.
Yes.
Last night at the Bills game, one of the tailgater lots had signs all over that said the following. No funnels, no wiffle bats, no table slamming. What is table slamming? I guess that's the barbecue table you'd use in the back of your truck or something?
Table slamming.
It's when you take a
shot and then slam the glass.
Yeah, I guess that's what that would mean.
Is there really a noise problem at tailgating?
Maybe you take a table and break it on another table.
It could break the glass, and then it's a safety risk.
Wiffle bats and dizzy bats are being banned. What's a dizzy bat?
Well, I know what dizzy bat races are.
Right, where you spin around?
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
And no funnels are the funnels you'd use to pour drinks down your friends' throats.
I'm guessing that could be, yes.
Okay.
I mean, that must be a thing in Buffalo, tailgate parties.
Do you think that we could link the Buffalo Bills' problems to their lack of fun at tailgating?
Possibly.
Okay. Here's a good news story. A man who survived Auschwitz is going to get a bar mitzvah at 113. He's 113 years old.
Wow.
1916, Israel Kristal was a motherless Jewish child whose father was away fighting in World War I and would be killed in action. He turned 13, was never able to celebrate his bar mitzvah. Born in 1903. A century later, it'll happen. He is the oldest man in the world currently, though you know that's subject to change. He turned 113 yesterday. His daughter told a news agency in Israel that his family is planning a bar mitzvah for him. How cool is that?
That's very cool. How old's his daughter?
If he's 116, his daughter's got to be 90, probably?
She's 113, right? Yeah, so maybe in her 80s at least.
In her 80s, I would say. 80s, what do you get him as a gift for that?
Well, my problem is, you know, your bar mitzvah, you usually have all your friends come.
Sorry.
Well, I'm sure he's got friends.
Yeah, but I mean contemporaries.
Right. Well,
I'm sure his friends' grandkids could come.
Yeah. Grandkids.
Cool, to be 113. I mean, think about that.
Would you want to live to be 113?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
I would if my brain was with me. If not, no.
Well, this guy sounds like he's all there.
He sounds like he's with it, yeah.
And what do you do with the dreidel? Because I'm guessing he's not, other than having someone else spin it, I don't know what else is happening.
I don't think that's...
Okay. Is a dreidel part of a bar mitzvah?
Dave?
No.
Okay. And then there's a really disturbing Derrick Rose story. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read it. I don't even want to.
Derrick Rose, now of the New York Knicks, had said previously he had sex with a woman on the night in question, but insisted it was consensual. She is now suing Derrick Rose and two others in a case that is in deposition stage. Derrick Rose and two others who she said broke into her apartment and gang raped her. She is 30 years old. She was referred to as Jane Doe here. The attorney for the woman said that Mr. Rose did not help his case when in the deposition he could not define the word consent. He read the deposition to the person that called. The attorney on Mr. McCoy said the question was, do you have an understanding of the word consent? The answer, no, but can you tell me? The questioner, I just wanted to know if you had an understanding of consent. Derek Rose, answer, no.
Wow.
Not great.
No.
Not great. It's 9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN.